Pro-Life Leadership, The Catholic Way. In this important lecture, Father Hartin addresses a grave weakness in the pro-life movement, a lack of leaders who are abashedly Catholic. They must deeply believe in eternal life and heroically live what they believe. Not everyone has the grace. If you yearn to be a leader in this apostolate, or want to help us search and find them, let us know. What are the qualifications? What type of training is needed? Let's hear it from Father Hartin.
Our subject, therefore, is the pro-life leadership in the Catholic way. It may seem strange to have a title like pro-life leadership, the Catholic way. What is unusual about the title is that we commonly speak about the pro-life movement, period. We do not distinguish between pro-life leaders in general and Catholics who are leaders in promoting the culture of life. Let us be clear. It is not only that Catholic leadership is somehow different or distinctive. Catholic protagonists must, and my manuscript says must, provide the foundations for the pro-life movement. Without the Catholic Church, there cannot be a pro-life movement. These foundations, we believe, are entrusted to the Church founded by Jesus Christ and interpreted by the authority that Christ instituted 2,000 years ago. Another premise that should be stated is, now the Catholic faith teaches there are two kinds of invisible movers constantly at work to influence the minds and wills of human beings. They are the good spirits, whom we commonly call angels, and the evil spirits, who are demons. This is absolutely basic to the understanding of the massive conflicts going on in the world today. The lesson, I think, is plain. If the devil is so effective in misleading minds, it is because people are too distracted by the pleasures of this life to even realize they are being misled. Hence the value of looking at the devil for a few minutes, knowing his technique and preparing ourselves to cope with his deceit. All of this, I thought, was a necessary prelude to speaking on the pro-life leadership, the Catholic way. Saint Ignatius, my Father in God, explains all of this in the spiritual exercises. The followers of Christ are in constant conflict were the followers of Satan. That, by the way, is an article of faith. Who would doubt that the massive genocide in the modern world is a result of demonic seduction? Death came into the world through the devil, and death is being promoted in the modern world by the devil. Believe me, that is not pious poetry. That is hard, hard living fact. Not only individuals, but whole nations have been seduced by the devil. Jesus told the unbelieving Jews of his day, who challenged his claims and wished to kill him, by telling him, Christ speaking to the unbelieving Jews, the Father from whom you are is the devil, and the desires of your Father it is your will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 44. There is no understanding, no understanding of the massive genocide in the world today without seeing the evil spirit behind it. So it was in first century Palestine. So it is at the close of the 20th century in America. Not to know this is not to know how the evil spirit is behind the global genocide that has spread like an epidemic of death throughout the world. My own background before I was sent into graduate theology was finishing my doctoral studies in biochemistry. Part of my job was examining contraceptives. I know of no contraceptive on the market, none, which not only prevents conception, but kills, murders the fertilized ovum. My plan is to ask four questions and answer them in sequence. Who are some present-day Catholic leaders in the pro-life movement? Next, who are the potential leaders? Third, how should these Catholic leaders be trained? And fourth, what is the apostolate of eternal life? First of all, who are some of the active and zealous Catholic leaders in the church today? The chief leader, needless to say, is the Bishop of Rome. In document after document, lecture after lecture, Pope John Paul II is telling not just Catholics, but the whole world, the culture of death must be converted to the culture of life. Otherwise, human society will not survive. What is the Pope telling us? The end of the world is near at hand unless we convert this culture of death. His encyclical on the gospel of life is a many thousand word plea, especially to us Catholics, to become leaders in developing the culture of life on which the survival of humanity depends. Only God knows how long the world will survive. In the words of Christ's vicar, the world will not survive unless there are Catholics who become leaders in the pro-life movement throughout the world. Out of this library of the Pope's plea for leadership, I thought I would share with you what he said to our own people in the United States on October the 5th of the past year. Sadly, says the Pope, today a new class of people is being excluded in the struggle for civil rights for everyone. When the unborn child, the stranger in the womb, is declared to be the only protection of life, not only are America's deepest traditions radically undermined and endangered, but a moral blight is brought upon society. The Pope continues, I am also thinking of threats to the elderly. My friends in the medical profession tell me medical books in medical schools now come in two classes. Those who are treating people under 60 to keep them alive, and those over 60 to make sure they leave. When innocent human beings are declared inconvenient or burdensome and thus unworthy of legal and social protection, grievous damage is being done to the foundation of democratic liberties and the keystone of the edifice of civil society. Both as Americans and as followers of Christ, American Catholics must be committed to the defense of life in all its stages and in every condition. No words of mine can be too clear. We are living in the age of martyrs. Four days later, the Pope made a moving plea to Americans to love life, cherish life, defend life from conception to natural death. Evidently, the Vicar of Christ realizes how important for the survival not only of America, but of the whole world, is the militant zeal. Watch the adjective. Militant zeal of Catholics in our country to lead our nation in the protection of innocent human life. Let me tell you, and I mean it, we are all naturally cowards. We're scared. Shortly before the Pope's pilgrimage to the United States, Archbishop James Kelleher spoke to some 2,000 persons, including 70 cardinals, archbishops, and bishops. The occasion was the International Convention of the Knights of Columbus in Kansas City, Kansas. Said the Archbishop, "Today we speak of innocuous medical procedures when they really mean dissecting the child in the womb. Instead of calling euthanasia by its real name of direct killing, they speak about relieving the pain of those who are no longer able to enjoy the appropriate quality of life. We must not be afraid to confront our society." Oh, dear Jesus. Confront our society. Face it. Of course we'll have to pay the price. Well, that's how the church began. By the crucifixion of Christ on Calvary and the martyrdom of hundreds of thousands of the first Christians in the first 3 centuries of the Christian era. We must not be afraid, says Archbishop Keller, to confront our society with the truth about life, about the beautiful gift that it is, how it cannot be taken for granted or taken away by whim. Western materialistic thought lets us, the wealthiest, best fed, most nourished, pardon me, heaviest human society in the world. This thought, martyrs say that life is beautiful because it is made to the God's image. It is precious because it comes from God. Last December, on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, another strong bishop. Oh, how we need, dear Lord, how we need strong bishops. This time, Bishop Moynihan, a new bishop of Syracuse, New York, led a procession of 400 pro-lifers from the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception to the offices of the Planned Parenthood Association. Planned Parenthooders expressed their alarm to see a bishop leading just appointed leading a battalion of pro-lifers in his diocese. Some Catholics in the pro-life movement tell us they are dreaming about what would happen if all other bishops were to be so publicly identified with the pro-life movement. My 26th year in working for the city, I can assure you, we do need and pray, beg the dear Lord for courageous, even heroic bishops. We need them. But my focus in this conference is rather on the laity. I believe we should wake up to the potential leadership among the lay Catholics in our nation. First major subtitle, Potential Leaders. I believe we have very few Catholic lay leaders in the church today. To answer the question in one sentence, these potential leaders in the Catholic pro-life movement are those who satisfy three conditions. And I sure hope and pray I'm talking to the right audience. These potential lay leaders deeply believe in eternal life. Secondly, they heroically live what they believe. And thirdly, they are zealous to promote their faith in eternal life in the world in which they live. This is Pope John Paul's main concern for what we call, may God forgive us the title, developed countries. Developed in what? Developed in everything which the world can provide to enjoy life on earth. But backward, what a safe statement. Illiterate in the knowledge of the only life that really matters, the life that we shall begin when our body dies. I want to go over each of these three conditions for the potential lay leaders among Catholics, which the Church needs. Everything I'm sharing with you comes to me from the Holy See. Watch the adverbs. These potential lay pro-life leaders are those who deeply believe in eternal life. They are Catholics who heroically live out what they believe. And they are Catholics who zealously promote militantly their own faith and eternal life. So I hesitate repeating what the Archbishop of Moscow told me. Plain laws every day. You name the cult, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, all kinds of New Agers, plain laws pouring into Moscow every week. And they come to promote their own brand of misguided religion. And he told me, tell your Catholics, ask them this question, where are American Catholics? Quietly, cozily, comfortably, enjoying themselves in prosperous United States. I may go on to say that one reason for the massive anti-life movement throughout the world is that we Catholics have not fully lived out the faith that we possess, nor responded to the duty that we have. Among the early fathers of the Church, first three centuries, hear it. Catholics were called the soul of the world. As the fathers of the Church explained, the world is made evil by human beings, but what gives life to this world? What gives this world a reason for living? Must be. What's the imperative? Must be. Provided by Catholics. Says one father of the Church after another, without Christian believing Catholics, the world is a corpse. We must provide the soul for enabling this world to be alive. Our modern world, in one nation after another, as legalizing abortion, it is now legalizing euthanasia. These nations deeply need strong believing Catholics. It is not a cliche, I know. Only heroic bishops will survive in today's world. All the others will be further casualties.